Next item is item number 13, request for public hearing. Mr. O'Reilly.
Good afternoon, or good morning, I should still say. Commissioner, members of the commission. Let's see. So I have a few comments related to the presentations you just saw. One is, I was on the pilot study for the Baywide Winter Dredge Survey in 1989 with a gentleman by the name of Clooney Stagg. So I consider myself fortunate to have been part of a process that took all the way until 2009 to be deemed the marquee survey, because we also have a survey from BIMS and the Trawl Survey, another Trawl Survey in Maryland, a crab survey, but they also had this situation in Calvert Cliffs where a gentleman from 1968 until I think he probably stopped around 1996, where he had a peeler pot study, and those were all indices brought together. And the problem was, when we looked at those indices, we couldn't get them to corroborate. And CBSAC was very anxious to go with the Winter Crab Dredge Survey. I was one of the folks who said, no, not quite yet. Let's wait. Let's make sure that we can have this alone. And, of course, it's been the marquee study. That doesn't mean there aren't explorations into how to use the other data, you know, especially the trawl data, especially the data that Dr. Lipschitz has in the fall for the spawning stock, which he used to present to the commission. So I think that's necessary. I don't think we should sit on our accomplishments at all. I think there's more accomplishments to come. One thing I want to mention to you that Pat mentioned on the exploitation rate, recreational harvest is included. It's just poorly, assumed to be a certain amount. We had a study in 2001 that was funded by the agency that decided that it was about 4% of the commercial harvest. And Maryland has had at least three studies. And in fact, if you go back into the 60s and 70s, one of Maryland's studies said that their recreational crab fishery was higher than their commercial fishery. And the second study said around 60%. So recreational isn't complete. It will need some help in the future, but they have used an estimate of 8%. And then, because Maryland does not allow potters to have female crabs, they dropped that portion down a little bit. So it's there, but it is a little problem with the exploitation rate. The other situation, and this slide wasn't part of CBSAC this time, I think what Pat was showing you was a relationship of just zeros by itself and harvest. But what Maryland DNR has done for years is zero plus, meaning all crab ages versus harvest. That's a really solid relationship. It's fallen to about 78%, explaining all the variation. It used to be 86%, so it's fallen a little bit, but it's a very significant and a very representative way for looking forward to what the harvest might be. And it's a tool that, you know, we should always keep in mind because it's very usable. The most impressive thing that I saw on the grass today and every other time I've looked at them was really the juvenile crabs. If you remember that one graphic, there were only 3 out of 10 years which were fairly low, and the other 7 years were very good abundance of juveniles. And that's encouraging because it is environmentally driven. If you look at the time period from about 1997 to 2007, you won't find that many good years of juveniles. And, of course, juveniles grow up, and they're in the fishery, and they're also in the following year's spawning stock. So the juveniles were very rewarding to see. The spawning age females also have increased since 2008, but at the same time, there have been some down times. You know, 2014 and 2015 were very low. That's only 4 years ago, and that's why when I met with the commissioner, when we had this information, he was thinking we have to still be conservative. And that's right. We don't have a sustainable resource the way we hope to have it sometime. And I think the sustainability lies with the juveniles and the fact that when they look at the models for climate variability, what they find is that it's a plus for crabs. Many finfish species, we won't see it very soon, but you can look down the road, climate change, mainly temperature right now, will change our finfish stocks. But the crab stocks receive a benefit from increasing temperatures. And granted, right now, a lot of the climate models aren't looking in the next 10 years or 5 years. They're looking further. But at the same time, crabs will be something that we can rely on. And it wasn't quite a $30 million dockside fishery recently, but it has been. And that's pretty impressive. The other thing to mention is that back to the exploitation rate, something that has always been troublesome is the peeler fishery. Why is it troublesome? Well, only because in the early spring, green crabs are still taken. Take green crabs, they haven't even signed yet. They don't even have a white sign, let alone a pink sign yet, or a red sign when they're ready to bust within a couple of days. So green crabs are still taken. What the worry is, and is going to need outreach from this agency, from fisheries management, is report what you harvest, not what you shed. And it's too common an occurrence from anecdotal information from industry that shedding rates are pretty high at certain times and that they do take green crabs and that, you know, we really should be worried about that as far as the stock condition goes. And another reason why the exploitation rate may be 23.7% under the target of 25.5%, but realistically, there's too many unknowns. During June, July, August, how many crabs don't make it? The sponge crab rule has been lowered down to the end of June, and that helped. Dr. McConaughey and Dr. Lipschitz agreed on that approach, so you're not throwing sponge crabs, dark-colored sponge crabs, back in July and August anymore, which is a benefit. But there's still problems, and with some temperature increases, you hear about sponging, cushioning occurring even earlier. So all these put together do tell us to have caution. And when we get to a point where the juveniles continue like they are, but also the spawning age females don't have the hills and valleys in them, that's the time that, regulation should be looked at pretty seriously for maybe some liberalization. This year, not a lot of liberalization is proposed. So this is a request for public hearing. It's a proposal to amend various chapters that you can see there. 270 is the mainstay chapter. That includes most of the regulatory language for blue crab. 1140 is the winter dredge fishery season regulation. And then you move on and you have 670, which is our recreational regulation, and that's something that guides the licensees, those who have the five-pot licensees in particular. And then in 1040, that is our actual licensing. That's the regulation that has the moratorium that was put forth by the commission in May of 1999. The moratorium still exists. It says that there'll be no additional licenses, meaning you can transfer, but there are no additional licenses for sale. So this will be left to right on 270. There is a change in the season. We do have to do that, the commercial harvest dates, as well as when the crab pot gear has to be out of the water. And that has to be changed each year. On the right, the crab manager advisory requests that the commission increase the November allowable crab pot bushel limits and to have them equal to October. I thought it was a very good crab management advisory committee. Staff has had concerns because if we go back a year to even 4 years ago, we had trouble getting quorums. And we had trouble getting investment in the process. And a lot of times the answers were, well, you're not listening to us, meaning that staff's not listening, the commission's not listening. This time was a whole lot different. Mr. Tankard managed the discussions very well. There were two upsetments during the process. One, because one of the proposals going in from last Crab Management Advisory Committee was to have no season. When the crabs show up, that's the season. And there was a little bit of back and forth between myself and another individual on the crab committee, and I said, you have to think of law enforcement. Law enforcement has schedules. They can't just all of a sudden stop what they're doing and go check something out with crabs when they already have something scheduled. They have to have a date when the season starts. That's very important. Eventually, I think it was okay. The second situation was there was a request for a December extension, which we've had three other times in the last 6 years. And the committee debated it for a while, but eventually found that they did not want to load up on the commission. They thought it was a bad idea to have multiple ideas, multiple propositions for changes to regulations for the commission. And they finally settled on the November bushel limit. So I'm showing you the current bushel limits on the left, and that's according to the five crab pot categories, 8, 10, 13, 21, and 27. On the right, you see what would occur in November. They'd be the same as the other months, with the exception that March 17th to 31st still has the lower bushel limit. One thing about Alexa's presentation that she mentioned to you was that for 2 years, the lower bushel limits in the first part of November were in place. And that's true. But you have to realize that they were put in place and not brought back. So in a way, there was an opportunity to reinstate those bushel limits after 2016. And it wasn't done. So if you really look at this from one aspect, what the Crab Management Advisory Committee is asking is to make the latter part of November the higher bushel limits to match October. But nonetheless, in the regulation, it has to be the whole month of October. So that would be the increases there. With crab dredging, next month I will have more information, which should lead you to understand that it's been 11 years since there was a crab dredge season right now. There was fire and brimstone for the first 5 years or so. There was great upsetment running through the process of the commission. A lot of, bad blood. And it tapered off. The last 3 years, we haven't had any protests. We haven't had any harangues, anything like that. We did have at the Crab Management Advisory Committee, I would call it two musings, two individuals who said, wonder if you ever bring crab dredge fishery season back. And that was about it. I mean, it was not a discussion. In the past, if you go back about 6 or 7 years, that was the only thing on the mind of industry, was to get the crab dredge fishery back. Of course, that goes back to 2009 as well. So you can look at this. And the problem is that do we have not so much the effort, but do we have the abundance that we always had in the past, say the 70s and the 80s and leading into the early 90s? Because you have a lot of juveniles now, which is the eighth highest in 30 years. But at the same time, you have to realize that survey ends March 15th. So what happens to juveniles from March 15th until now? They're good for prey. The second thing is they're also the crabs that would be exploited during the winter. And I hope the commission has enough background to understand that, you know, there has been a lot of talk about the winter dredge fishery season, but that the Judge Doyle in 2009 said the commission had to rule on that season every year on whether there would be a season, and that's why it's here today. This is something that the Code of Virginia 282204 says that the commission may require a crab license. Of course, the commission has done that through regulation over the years until 2004, when the commission decided that as long as you are eligible to purchase a license, you need not purchase that license. So that has occurred for many, many years. We have a situation where staff is proposing that if you are eligible for a license, you should be able to transfer that eligibility. You may be familiar with the oyster resource user fee and paying that. And what you do with that, if you transfer it, you're paying, you're transferring the eligibility to pay the oyster resource user fee. We really only have the commercial fisherman registration license and the commercial hook and line license, which have these requirements, as well as the crab license right now, three altogether, that require purchase of the license. So what happens typically is if you want to transfer a license and it's at the very beginning of spring, for example, or even the winter, you have to buy that license, transfer to someone else, they have to buy that license. Staff is contending that since it's been an eligibility issue since 2004, the transferability should be an eligibility issue as well. And that pretty much sums up what I just said on this slide.
Rob, back to the point pertaining to winter dredge fishery.
Yes.
And a lot of folks, except I believe Mr. Tankard was here during those debates. How about pulling out those wonderful slides, wonderful work that VIMS did that shows the spatial distribution of the female crab the years subsequent to the elimination of the dredge fishery, and have that at the ready just in case. Matter of fact, I'd like to show it to the commission anyway.
Sure.
Because if that wasn't one of the most, as a young commissioner, the most convincing pieces of work that, I mean, demonstrates how things can turn around if you just put your foot down and take some appropriate action.
Yeah.
That was probably one of the most difficult times for me as commissioner, not in making the decision, but hearing the hue and cry for my head and the commission's head, and the fact that we were had one phone call on Christmas Eve that said specifically that I had prohibited their family from having Christmas due to the elimination of the winter dredge fishery. It was a tough time, but it was the right thing to do. I'll never, ever go back to that as far as my concern, right, as far as wanting it. So I just want to have that great work that VIMS did, and just to demonstrate what can be done just in case.
Well, it may help the commission to know that in 2008, for the 34% reduction in females, that the crab dredge season elimination was about half that reduction. Some of the other reductions were not as finite, such as increasing the sanctuary acreage, raising the peeler crab size to 3 1/4 to July 15th, and then 3 1/2 July 16th after that. So it was a very instrumental measure.
Thank you.
Recreational gear licenses. So this is something that the commission could have, way back, 1993, allowed for a 10-pot license. It's in the code, but settled on 5 pots because the code gave the authority to the commission to establish those licenses, and they did it 5 pots. In 2008, as another measure, there were no licenses offered for the 5 recreational crab pots. And there might be, Alexa might be able to help me, whether there's 500 plus somewhere in there, recreational crab pot licenses, 5 pot. Does that sound familiar?
Somewhere around there.
Yeah, so I mean, it's popular, but not that popular, because there's still a lot of recreational crabbing with the 2 pots. So with this particular regulation, it had a misstep in that somewhere along the line, and Jennifer traced this, there was a time when regulation assigned this regulation for setting daily time limits for the commercial crabbing, because it makes reference that those time limits, as shown in this section of 670, will not apply. Well, that's a mistake. Somehow it crept in there, so we need to fix that. So it's bookkeeping, but at the same time, it belongs as a reference into 270, where the actual daily time limits are set. So that's one part of 670. The second part is, it has bothered staff that the code 282709 talks about the exclusion from recreational crabbing in the 1942 sanctuary area, the area in the lower bay. And the way it talks about it is that no crabbing allowed from June 1 to September 15th, it used to be, until the commission was able to change it in 2009. No crabbing for resale. And so it's a recreational area. In 2007, when the commission mitigated lowering the time period of sponge crabs, dark sponge crabs, when they had to be thrown overboard, it was mitigated by adding a coastal area sanctuary as well. And that is Area 4 in the sanctuary, and that's always been recreational fishing as well. So just to make it clear, staff is requesting that those two areas be cited in 670 so that no one will be misled that there's no recreational licensed crab potting in any of the areas. And so just making it a little less opaque, quite frankly. And there's the sanctuary areas. Those aren't my colors. I don't know who to blame those on, but
I think they're nice.
So here's Area 2, and then here's Area 4. And you can see the seasons when this is when commercial crab potting cannot occur in 2, 3, and 4. But in 2 and 4, recreational is allowed. And the recreational 5 pot is June 1 to September 15th, because around 2009, the commission established a season for the 5 pot limit. And these are no recreational crabbing whatsoever or commercial crabbing in the 2 upper areas. So the staff recommendation for Chapter 270, staff recommends the commission approve advertising of the change in the commercial crab fishing dates, as well as the time periods when crab pots and other lawful gear used to harvest crabs shall be removed from our waters. Staff also recommends the commission approve advertising the increase in the November bushel limit to match what's in October, or the rest of the year, I should say, except March. Chapter 1140, staff recommends the commission approve advertising a closed 2019-2020 winter crab jet fishery season. In Chapter 1040, staff recommends the commission approve advertising this change in transferability, where if you're eligible, you don't have to buy the license to get it to a family member. You don't have to buy the license to get it to a non-family member, because you're already eligible. And Chapter 670, staff recommends the commission approve advertising amendments to make a correct reference concerning where the daily time limits are, which is in 270, and also to include a reference in 670 that would delineate the 2 areas, Area 2 and Area 4, which are available to the 5 crab pot licensees. And that should be it.
Thank you, Rob. Questions of Mr. O'Reilly? If very thorough and comprehensive report by all members of staff. Really appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Really do. Questions? Seeing none, the matter is before the commission.
Move approval request for public hearing.
Motion made by Mr. Zedrin to approve a request for public hearing pertaining to crab regulations. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Tankard. Further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously.